Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final episode of Real Estate Pros for 2014. This is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management. I am your host, as always, Josh Cobb, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in each week throughout 2014. I know spare time is pretty hard to come by in the real estate industry, let alone 40 minutes to listen to a podcast. So I sincerely thank you for listening to our show this year, and we're super excited about making Real Estate Pros bigger and better for you in 2015. But on to today's interview, and what a great way to end the year. We're speaking with Hazley Cush from Ray White New Farm. Hazley is going to share with us his background in the real estate industry, the story behind Ray White New Farm's amazing growth, and what it was like being an auctioneer on the 2014 series of The Block. Hazley is one of the most passionate people I know when it comes to the business of real estate, so I know you're really going to enjoy this interview. But before we catch up with Hazley, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week, so let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Business Depot, real estate specialists, accountants and business advisors. From startup to growth or succession, muscle up and raise the bar of your real estate business. Check them out at businessdepot.com.au.
This week I'd like to tell you about a site called youcanbook.me, which is a really great tool for letting people book appointments with you. What you do is connect up your Google Calendar, you apply your branding, you set it up the way you want it to look, and then it gives you a unique URL that you can send out to people to quickly see at a glance when you're available and lock in a time that suits you both. We use this tool for so many different applications here at Steps and for our podcast as well, and it really cuts down on all those emails and phone calls back and forth. There's a free membership option that doesn't cost you anything, and then also three other paid membership options as well. I think it's a great time management tool for everyone in your office, and I encourage you to go and check it out at www.youcanbook.me. Spelt youcanbook.me. And with that, let's transition into this week's interview. Well, I'm super excited about introducing our guest today, Hazley Cush, the principal owner of Ray White New Farm Rentals. Hazley began his real estate career in 1996, and he is one of the only two people to hold the prestigious REIQ Auctioneer of the Year award three times, and is currently ranked as one of the top auctioneers in Australasia. Hazley has been involved in excess of 5,000 sales, ranging from modest accommodation to some of Australia's premier real estate. Hazley, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a moment, tell us a little more about you personally and give us an overview of the business.
I was just listening to that. I was thinking, really needs to be updated. Jason Andrews actually won the REIQ Auctioneer of the Year last year, which means that there are now three people that have won that prestigious award three times. So I'll have to try to find another angle to knock it back down to two, or I've got to dust the gavel off and go back and compete again this year. I'm fortunate. So it started in 1996, which is, such a long time ago, but I started as an 18-year-old kid. My mum is a real estate agent, so I'd grown up around real estate agents. She's had offices since I was about 12. So you grow up around the business. The one thing that you learn as the child of an agent is it's more of a lifestyle than a job. And when you're the son or daughter of a real estate owner, you are slave labor as a child, and then you are cheap labor for a long time, and then you get the worst splits in the office. You fix the photocopier and do the window cards. And I was fortunate, I worked for her till 2001 and did a job with Ray White Corporate as a trainer and auctioneer, and bought an office in New Farm in 2005. And the real chapter that I'm closing and about to open another one is sold the sales business in 2012. And that's been 2 years. So for the last 2 years, I've just been focused on property management. Auctioneering and property management are where I think they're a wonderful marriage. They're complete polar opposites on the real estate scale. And I wake up on a Monday morning and I've never been happier to go to work. I wake up on a Saturday morning, I've never been happy to go and call auctions. And there was definitely times when I didn't feel great on a Monday morning to go to work. And there was definitely times I didn't feel great to wake up on a Saturday and call auctions for 10 hours, or not 10, 8 hours. So, I'm in a great place.
Well, for some of our listeners, Hazley, that aren't familiar with the New Farm area, can you describe what the market's like around New Farm and for some of our listeners who aren't familiar with the area?
Yeah, sure. So for anyone who can sort of imagine Brisbane City, if you've seen a photo of it. New Farm sits right on the shoulder of the CBD. It sits right next to the Story Bridge. So we're on the northern side of the river. It goes to the city, the Story Bridge, then New Farm, which sits like a peninsula. And it's probably at the highest square metre rate for property in the city. But we sell properties on quite small blocks of land from 200 square metres up to 1,000 odd square metres. And it's one of those areas in the city, and you see this in a number of cities and around the country, around the world, where the richest person in town can be sitting in the coffee shop next to the poorest person in town. They both live in the same suburb, and you can't tell the difference because they're both in T-shirts, shorts and thongs. You know, it's a it's not a pretentious area. It still houses a lot of boarding houses, but it also houses some of the most expensive real estate in Brisbane. An apartment sold a number of years ago for just over $14 million. You know, sales will take place in our prestige end anywhere from $2 million up to, you know, $3 or $4 million. So it's a great marketplace in that regard. And rental demand is high. Obviously, if you think about Sydney, it's a similar market to Surrey Hills. If you think about Melbourne, maybe more like Fitzroy.
Well, Hazley, let's jump straight into the obvious question that all of our listeners want to know the answer to. What was it like being an auctioneer on the block, and how did it all come about?
So it's a funny story, actually. I've had two opportunities in the past to call block auctions. We've represented contestants on that show before, Ray White, and our national PR team had asked whether I'd be interested in the past, and just with calendar conflicts, I had never been able to commit. My in-laws had actually auditioned for that show twice before and had not made it. And we'd often laughed, if they got on, I'd do the auction. And it just worked well that Michael and Carlene's my wife's sister, and Michael got on the show. They'd missed out twice before. But that auction was the hardest bloody auction I've ever called in my entire life. It was intense. It was a 45-minute auction, yet on the TV, you know, it was cut down to 4 minutes. And then throw in the mix that it's my bloody in-laws who – and we're a very, very close family. It made it for a really intense auction. And then the result, if it had been a screaming result, it would have been tough. But
Well, obviously the results this year weren't what people were expecting. What do you think it came down to at the end of the day?
Oh, I think the easy answer is the reserves were too high. That's the easy answer. We had 24 registered bidders for our auction. A lot of people said, oh, there was no bidders. We had 24 registered prior to. We had the highest number of registered, but our buyers were tapped out at $1.2 million. And for those people that know auction, the opening bid was $1.2 million. Well, there goes 24 bidders. And then there was about five people that were sort of circling through all of the properties on the day, and we carried to $1,360,000 and then 1,390 in the end. So I think, look, the reserves were high. I think that the exec producers really did back on a premium for the block. In previous shows, they talked that the block can receive a 35% premium on market value. And I think you did see that, certainly in the first two. So the first three properties were the big ones. You know, they're really big properties. And there were three buyers that were really keen to battle it out. And probably happy to pay a 35% premium for the property and the extra stuff that comes through the block auction. And the extra stuff was not the TV recognition. That's one thing, but it's more they're fully fitted. Like the contestants leave in a cab. You get the cutlery, the TVs, the fridges, you know, the beds, the bedding, everything.
Well, Hazley, I've seen you speak at a few conferences now, and I couldn't help but hear you say more than a few times that property management is the new black. Can you explain for our listeners what you mean by that and why it's a passion for you, especially being someone with such a strong background in sales?
In so many real estate businesses, property management is not the sexy part of the business. And so we set about, we are just property management, so it's got to be bloody sexy. So we started saying, you know, property management's the new black. It's the new in vogue thing. It's been around for a long time, but it's trendy now. You know, it's magical. I love it, and it has just been joy. You know, you can see it here. I don't know It's in a big hashtag on the wall. Property management is the new black.
Well, for everyone watching, everyone listening, they can't see what you're showing us, but I can see it, and I can tell you it fills up about three quarters of that wall over there, Haisley.
Yeah, it's half the size of the wall, and we think about it. So when you walk in, we have had a few misguided people over the years that have said that's racist. No, you're missing the point. It's a fashion thing. Property management is the new black. Property management is in vogue. Property management is our first priority. Property management is an attractive business, and we treat it as the most important thing. And when we got our head around that, our clients are happier. Our tenants are happier. Our landlords are happier. They're not all happy all the time, but we're happier, so they're happier. So when they call in and they're unhappy about something, we accept that that's just the call we're going to get sometimes, because we're the person they call when they're unhappy. So we don't get unhappy because they're unhappy.
Well, you recently transitioned into this department and sold the sales part of the business, as you mentioned. How are things going for both the rental and sales teams, and how do you find that, I guess, that equal balance between the two?
So a guy by the name of Matt Lancashire owns the sales office. Unfortunately, he's a dear friend. I've known him for a long time, and he was our top salesperson when he bought the office. So we have, at the moment, a referral relationship. I send him the sales. He sends me the rentals. There's clunkiness every now and then. They probably don't get as many of the sales, and we don't drive it as hard, which I should. We don't get as many of the rentals. They don't drive it as hard, which they should. But in terms of our relationships and our effort, well, he, $100 that comes through his front door comes from sales. So their office has probably written $100 million worth of sales in the last quarter, maybe more than that, but at least $100 million. So in terms of commission to someone, that's like $2.5 million in fees. And that's his one focus. And for us, we set a growth target. We want to grow by 25% net each year. And we're at the moment 49 properties, 46, I think one just came in, properties off that for the end of the year. So we are sprinting for the finish. We're a good chance of getting there. We put on 22 properties last month net. We've got those good growth targets that are working well, and growth comes from keeping them as well as getting them.
Absolutely. Look, Haisley, you're a passionate guy. There's no denying that. What are some of the things that you and your team do on a daily basis to keep that enthusiasm alive?
We definitely talk a lot. So we start every week with a 9 a.m. meeting at the office where we discuss all the stock, but we look at it online. Everybody's opinion matters. So we share a lot of those ideas. And the meeting goes for about an hour and a half. We discuss in an open environment, any issues, so whether positive or negative. And then our feedback is, supporting or constructive. And because everyone's willing to participate, there's no shame and blame. We really want people to share areas that aren't perfect. The perfect business can't grow. So we really hunt imperfection so that we can improve. So we do that on a Monday. I do a couple of other things. I call a lot of auctions. I sit as a director for Ray White. So I do a bit of travel. So I'm away from the office a lot, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But then we regroup every Friday morning and we have a 2-hour meeting where we go through the entire business. We have breakfast together and go through the whole business. Everyone's involved in that where we sit around and do that. But then outside of the office, we train with personal trainer twice a week. The office pays for that. Everyone's invited to that. We socialise. We do work functions for awards every month, that sort of thing. We attend conferences. And we do a few functions with our landlords and prospective clients, probably 3 or 4 times a year as well. So it's really important, the relationship.
And I remember hearing Matt Lancashire, Matt hopped up on stage with yourself at the Business of Real Estate conference a couple of months ago now up in Noosa, and he told the story of when he bought the sales business and you warned him about the 2 minutes. Can you explain for our listeners what the 2 minutes are?
I think any business owner, I'm sure it's not specific to real estate, but it's this idea of, got a minute? Hey, mate, have you got 2 minutes? I just want to quickly check something with you. And if you're getting lots of people say to you, you've got a minute, you've got 2 minutes, hey, you just got a sec, it's a real indicator to you that you're just not spending enough time with it, because a lot of what is involved in that 2 minutes is nothing more than just a sharing of information. It's a little bit of endorsement or acknowledgement, just a conversation. So my life used to be full of 1 minute, 2 minutes. So, you know, I had lots of meetings every day that allowed people to catch up, have a coffee and discuss their successes or their troubles.
Yeah. No, well, look, just in the pre-chat interview when you were panning around the office introducing me to the rest of the team with your iPhone there, I couldn't help but notice you've got written on the wall in the back office, mood is contagious.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody sort of, when you hear the term mood is contagious, it sort of resonates almost immediately. You know, if you sit down in an office and you're mood neutral and the person next to you is in a bad mood, then they bring you down. You know, and if you walk into an office and you're mood neutral and you sit next to someone who's in a great mood, then they enhance and lift your mood. You know, it's important for us that we take responsibility and control of our mood. So just taking responsibility of looking for the triggers and go, I'm about to enter into territory that can sometimes upset me. I'm going to take control of what happens now. You know, so no, mood is contagious. Just do the activities that you know put you in a good mood and avoid the activities that you know put you in a bad mood.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Hazley, let's shift gears just again. And we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate. On our podcast, we want to take it down to that grand level of actual moments in time, whether you failed or succeeded. Can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your career that you felt that like you'd failed? Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Well, I suppose, I mean, I competed in the 2008 Australasian Auctioneering Competition. I'd finaled twice before then, and I really overthought what I needed to do. You know, I did things that I wouldn't normally do in a competition or in a normal auction, and I mucked up the bids and didn't make the final. And for me, you know, I know better than that. I spent my life saying to people, the phone call you don't want to make, it's harder not to make that call because you're going to think about it all day than it is to make the call. You call that person, it's never that hard. Even if they're upset with you, they get over it because you took the time to call them. What I should have done is backed my ability, gone in there and called it how I called it, would have been fine.
Well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum, Hazley. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right way to go about growing a real estate business? Again, take us there with you. What was going through your mind and how it made you feel?
You know, I had a couple of guys go and open offices. Craig Sharp was one that sticks out in my mind. And, you know, to watch him go on to that journey was really very rewarding for me. Matt Lancashire, when he approached me to buy the sales business, and today the business that he runs would have to be one of the best in the country. And to see his development, he was a really poor performing salesperson at one point, and he went on to become one of the top agents in the country and now one of the top principals. And, you know, I suppose in the dark of night, I'd like to think that I played a role in that. And, you know, the funniest one that keeps pumping into my brain, and I don't know for the life of me why it does, I had this massive dispute with this lady who's a partner of one of the biggest law firms in the country. She'd have to be worth, like, she's just extraordinarily wealthy woman, so tough. Anyway, we had an issue with her in letting her property, and she was taking it off us, basically. We let it. We were supposed to get the management. She was upset with the way that it was done, and she found a hole in the paperwork. And then that's when it landed on my lap and said, this lady doesn't want us to manage it. She wants to pay us just to be a let only. And I said, okay, I'll call her. Anyway, so she went off and, you know, sort of said how bad we were. And I talked to her and sorted through the issue. It was probably around the time that I took over the property management. And I just made sure that I talked to her a lot. You know, I called her, I sorted through every issue. And at the end of it said to her, this is probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I said to her, how have you felt about this transaction? She said, I would say if anybody ever asked me, Hazley, that you won't run away from issues in your business, that you'll admit when you guys are wrong and, you know, you'll work through those. And, you know, I suppose the reason I'm probably thinking about it at the moment is those tenants moved out 2 weeks ago and she's listed both properties back with us and given us the management for that one and another one. And, you know, that'd be $5 million worth of property, you know, $3,500 a week in rent. you probably couldn't see that value at the time. It's just screaming at you and talking down about the organisation that you're running. But, you know, really is a nice outcome when you sort of, you cop it, you admit where you were wrong, and, you know, then you do eventually see the fruits of that labour.
That's right. Well, talking about business growth, the three biggest challenges every person working in real estate faces when marketing their services is either creating awareness of the brand, generating leads, or increasing loyalty from their current clients. Can you give our listeners an overview of your marketing strategies, technologies, and philosophies behind solving some of these problems?
Yeah, so we subscribe to all of the latest technologies. We use the SMS systems, the softwares that are involved. We use video. We have marketing teams and graphic designers pumping stuff out. I write articles for local papers and newsletters. I talk to journalists, all those sorts of activities that I suppose everybody would, you know, if you sat down with a pen and paper, wrote down the list of things you should do. We do most of those, and we make sure that they happen consistently, not just the 1 month we remember. So we have a formula that involves, you know, bringing in new clients, whether they want to rent their property out today or whether they're just an investor who's happy with their agent. We will have a contact system that involves 24 points of contact a year through a series of emails, events, mail, phone calls.
Well, the one that sticks out in my mind that I've seen you do, which I'd love to get your feedback on the engagement with your clients and your prospects, is your market update, your one-minute market update that you do. Can you explain for our listeners the technology or any of the resources that you need to do that every week?
Yeah, so it's actually probably would have been around 2010. I went to a meeting in Sydney, and it was around the same at that event. I also got an iPad, you know, for the first time, which had a camera in it. And I thought, oh, it'd be great if I could just videotape a message out to our, I had the sales business at that time, out to our database as to what was happening in the market. And so I did one, and then I thought, how the hell am I, just a real estate salesperson, going to get this out to the world? And there was this button, the magic of Apple, that just said publish to YouTube. And I thought, oh, I'll just push that button. And within two or three clicks and a couple of accounting information things put in, all of a sudden this video, which was shocking, was published online. And the concept was born of, I'll just give people a one-minute market update on our database every month. I'll let them know the listings and the sales and what's happening. And it started with an iPad. It started as pretty poorly, and I wouldn't say it's great now, but I used to just videotape it on my iPad. I started doing it myself, and I had someone in the office hold it, and eventually bought a camera. And it's still got a long way to go, but people quite like the rawness. And I've been doing it now every month since 2010. Yeah, it's just once a month. The key to anything that you decide to do, you know, whether it be knock on doors, make phone calls, send out emails, you're better to knock on one door on 1,000 doors 10 times than 10,000 doors once. You know, you're better to just, if you're going to do it, if it's right, keep doing it. Do it with consistency.
And I think with the video side of things, everyone talks about video at the moment, Hazley. Everyone's talking about how great video is. But what have you found the engagement's been like? What's the feedback been from clients and prospects?
Oh, the market, yeah, people love the market updates. The people who watch them love the market updates. So because I have to cram a lot in a minute, I send them to our landlords, our past purchasers and vendors. I also publish them through social media, through, you know, the Facebooks and the Twitters. To get them out as well. I actually find that it's a 50-50 split between our client base and the social media. So I do think doing both works. But people love a genuine raw message. But you can't do a genuine raw message in December 2014 and then another one in March 2015 and then another one in November 2015 and then another one in October 2016. You've got it, either you're in or you're out. Yeah, don't let a wonderful old saying, I learned it from a guy by the name of Mark McLeod. He said, don't let perfect get in the way of better. 100 people have said to me, I'm going to do those videos, but much better quality than yours. I'm going to pay someone and they're going to be great. I said, oh, that's awesome. But they never do it because it's a bit too much effort. It takes a bit too long and it's a bit too expensive. You know, I just sit down and try to knock it out in a couple of takes.
Fantastic. Well, look, I think I found it through social media, and I'll try and get an example of that put in the show notes from today so everyone can check that out. Well, Hazley, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions, get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from a study conducted by Social Media Examiner, which found that social media posts with a picture attached receive 120 to 180% more engagement than text-based posts. I think the old adage, a picture is worth 1,000 words, is more relevant than ever. And brands who are embracing visual storytelling on social media are being rewarded with engagement, referral traffic, and new business. I'm keen to hear what's working for you on social media. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Hazley, I've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Oh, this sounds challenging. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm locked in.
Name one person who's been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Oh, my mum. Started working for her in 96, and she's led by example. She'll outwork and outsmart. She'll outwork them and outsmart them. She's the best.
What is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not in the office?
Oh, definitely spend time with my family. I know that's a cliche, but it'll work out. You know, I do like to train, get the endorphins going. Time with the family or do some sort of training, boxing or something.
What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
I recently read The Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. Unbelievable. I followed that up by reading David and Goliath, another one of his. You know, books where they talk about case studies that are based on real life that talk about the essential in any business is effort equals reward. You can outwork, you know, enthusiasm will beat experience. You work hard with a good attitude, you will win every time.
What is your favourite technology resource you use daily to help you run a better business?
Oh, I am a prolific text messenger, but I probably would have to say text has changed. Text has really worked with me. Maybe join with a phone call. But, you know, in the property management world, to be able to service tenants, the level of inquiry we get via text it's just such a revolutionary technology to be able to do that. It seems like I'm going to hang up this call and I'm going to think, oh, no, what about this is the thing you use the most and you've taken it such for granted that you didn't even mention. So if I think about another one, I'll come and let you know, but I'll say text. I just love text messages.
It's often said that success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
I think that people in our industry will work really hard to get to a certain level of real estate, and then they think, and this is, you know, they go from poor to good. A lot of people can become quite good at real estate, but the step to get from good to great is really, it's a big step, and it involves the simplest things. It involves doing the same things that you did to get from poor to good. Keep doing them. If you keep doing them, you will become great. But what often happens is people become good and then they start trimming away the hard stuff. They start trimming away the extra mile stuff. So I would say that in our industry, people could be a lot bigger and a lot better than they actually think. And the ones that I see that really do well, that do extraordinary things, things that they never thought they would achieve, and I can tell you I'm one of them, wasn't because we dreamed bigger. It was because we worked harder. And when we worked harder, if we did it once and it worked, it just became habit. And then we just added more habits. We didn't trim anything away.
Well, what I take from that, Hazley, you don't trim the hard stuff.
That's right. That's right. You know, the people often say that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. I think that's the definition of insanity. If you want a different result, you know, like trim away the bad stuff from your life. Don't trim away the hard stuff from your life. You know, people want to trim away the hard stuff. The hard stuff is hard because it involves effort or it involves change. Well, if it's hard for you, it's hard for someone else, so they'll probably drop it. So for God's sake, don't drop it. do more of it.
Well, Hazley, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote, and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
I do like "mood is contagious." I do like "the grass is greenest where you water it." That would probably be right up there. And then the wonderful saying from Confucius, which is "the mighty waterfall started as a single raindrop." A raindrop is not a waterfall, but you just need to do the activities and continue to do them, and it will deliver well beyond your wildest expectation.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the great resources that Hazley shared with us today by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Hazley Cush. Hazley, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. How can people get in touch with you or learn a little bit more about Ray White New Farm?
Well, I suppose, you know, obviously in these days, in this day and age, email's fine, hcush@raywhite.com. I do get the luxurious opportunity to speak at a number of conferences around the place, predominantly with Ray White, but also sometimes with other groups and at industry events. I had a great time at the Wealth Conference recently with about 700 or 800 property managers partying on the Gold Coast. Either send me an email or I'll see you at one of those conferences.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me for the last episode of Real Estate Pros for 2014. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we'd love you to head over to iTunes right now and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we could improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. Wishing you a Merry Christmas from our family to yours and a Happy New Year. We look forward to speaking with you in January 2015. Bye for now.